The Holy Trinity is no friend of preachers. While countless metaphors have been used over the years to aid in its description, such as water, ice, and snow, three goldfish swimming in a circle, Neapolitan ice cream, or the perennial favorite, the shamrock, none of these really does the Trinity justice, or drastically reduces a preacher's risk of committing heresy in the pulpit. The truth is, no human definition will adequately describe God's attributes. But at its simplest, perhaps it's fair to say that the Trinity is a window through which Christians glimpse God, the God of three diverse persons, but in unity of being, the God in whose image we are created. St. Paul recognized that the Trinity isn't the easiest concept to understand, so he wrote about it in his first letter to the Corinthians to illustrate the point, and to relate the Trinity to the Church. In chapter 12, verse 12, he wrote, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." What this tells us is that even in the Church's earliest days, there were questions. Questions about who belonged and who didn't, who was important and who wasn't, whose presence and role mattered and whose didn't. Questions about whether or not the Church could be totally open, whether there could be a limit to the quantity or diversity of its parts. Paul explains that in the body of Christ, no one part is more valuable than another. All are equal, and all are necessary. And together, diverse parts build a larger, stronger body. These days, the Church is becoming so diverse that the growth is sometimes painful. Questions arise about whether or not there is still room for so many different parts, which do not appear to easily fit together. But Paul does not offer a bypass around the fundamentally Christian work of coming together. He just reiterates that the body of Christ can function if it's made up of a bunch of the exact same parts. Our diversity is what gives us strength and life. Paul goes on to explain that this diversity in the Church is not meant simply to be tolerated, but rather to be celebrated. Celebrated because the many parts that come together to form the one body are holy, reflective of God Himself. Celebrated because, according to Scripture, a diverse church is a godly church. It might be wise to remember that a diverse but unified God was not always understood. Until the founding of the Church, the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one," governed thought about the nature of God. The coming of Christ and the arrival of the Holy Spirit changed that understanding because a broader picture of God could be seen. This should not have been a surprise. In Isaiah 43:19, God says, "I am about to do a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" We, God's people, must always be prepared to be open to God's continual renewal and revelation. Our God is a creative God, a God who wants to draw us closer through deeper understanding and better appreciation of His ways. To accept that the last chapter has not yet been written, to recognize that God is not finished creating, to grasp that God's ways exceed and surpass our understanding, is to have peace. That peace of the triune God, which passes all understanding, is brought to mind in our worship. Acclamations, blessings, hymns, and creeds bookend and punctuate our liturgy with reminders about who God is and who we are as created in God's image. As this reality washes over us week in and week out, year in and year out, we are transformed. Transformed by the fact that it's not all about us as individuals, but instead is about the collective diverse us as God's people, coming together as one to worship, always striving for the unified perfection that is God's alone, but which He calls us to one day share with Him. J. just as the early church struggled at times to appreciate the fullness of what God had revealed, we too may occasionally live in the tension of being confronted by questions about what it all means. How we as individuals, as parishes, and as Episcopalians are called to reflect both the unity and the diversity of our God in three persons. In those moments, may we recall that the God who created us, the God who redeemed us, and the God who sustains us abides with us, informs us, and blesses us, giving us the grace to keep seeking and to keep striving this Lent and always.